Welcome to Sweet Talk, the show where our voices are heard and our narratives are told in a way that only we can tell it. It's our unapologetic truth. It's how we learn from one another. It's how we help one another heal. And most importantly, it's how we grow. It's the show where we have honest conversations about being Black or Brown in America. Nothing is off limits. Our guests are everyday people like you and me. I'm your host, Kali. So join me at the kitchen table. Good credit or bad credit? Is our credit score just a number? And how does it impact our life? Piggybacking off of our last week's episode, we're joined today by Kimberly Shannon, who's going to talk to us about how we can repair our credit, both personal and professional. So make sure you grab a pen and a pencil and take good notes. Or a mocktail. And join the conversation. Welcome, everyone, to Sweet Talk, the podcast that takes bitter conversations and make them sweet. Last week, we were talking about credit and the importance of credit and how it impacts your finances, the difference that it makes when purchasing a $25,000 car and paying $40,000 versus purchasing a $25,000 car and paying $30,000 for that car. So today we have with us Kim Shannon, who's going to talk to us about credit repair and how we can go about repairing our credit so that our credit doesn't negatively impact our finances. So Kim, welcome to Sweet Talk. It's great having you on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here again on a different subject.
Yes, definitely. Last time you were here, we were talking about your experience in the early days of contracting COVID. So, you know, how are you doing after that?
I'm doing absolutely great. Doing great. I'm just it's just a blessing to be here. Blessing to be here and to be in this position to be here talking about credit right now, you know, after my hospitalization. And so, you know, we are purpose-driven people. And so our purpose right now is to help others and to be a blessing to others as God has blessed us.
Well, great. Well, let's jump right into it because I know time is money and, you know, we want to make the most of the time that we have. We thank you for, squeezing us into your tight schedule. So on our last episode, we, you know, as I indicated, we talked about credit and how it impacts your finances and the three different credit bureaus that report. However, one of the things that we didn't talk about was once you check your credit report and you find that there's things on your credit report, how do you actually go about repairing your credit? And what is the pros and cons of hiring someone to do it versus doing it yourself? And when should you be checking your credit report? Like, should you be checking it a month before you're trying to buy a house? Should you be checking 6 months, 12 months before you, and how does that impact your credit score?
Okay, so back to, I'm trying to remember all those questions there.
Okay, but I can fire back off at you. So just first, let's just start off. How would you recommend someone checking their credit score?
Okay, so right now, currently, there is an annual free credit report that people are able to access. Especially right now during COVID times, that they have those where we're able to access those more than the annual that were always available, the free annual report. So now you're able to go in or get those a little bit more readily. You should be checking your credit, not just right before you're getting ready to get something. Generally, my rule of thumb, and I tell my clients, is that I admonish them to try to check them monthly at least. Especially right now, there's so much fraud going on, so many things going on that people are utilizing other people's credit to get over, leveraging those things. And so we do need to be, checking that pretty more frequently. I have some people that check it almost every week right now because of some fraudulent things, but definitely monthly.
Now, does it impact your credit score by checking your credit so frequently?
Now, the ones that are there now and that are accessible, no. When you're doing it yourself as a consumer going through a credit monitoring type system, no, it will not impact your score by doing that. Now, if you have creditors out there that are pulling your score and doing hard inquiries, yes, it's going to impact your score, sometimes from 3 to 4 points each time that somebody's inquiring and pulling that credit report. So you want to be mindful of that. You want to be intentional with your credit being pulled by those creditors.
Okay. So we know that within the Black community and the culture that a lot of us grow up with negative credit before we're even 18, because we've had electric bills, cable bills, and phone bills in our name. What would be the first steps for someone to begin repairing their credit once they turn 18?
So again, what you will want to do is go in and have that person go in, pull their credit report, see what is actually there. Of course, a credit report is broken down. There's a breakdown of about 5 components of that credit report. So you want them to go in, you want them to see what is being reported as far as their accounts go. That breakdown consists of, and you guys probably talked about it on your previous podcast, but that breakdown consists of credit history, the amount of credit that you're using. Also goes into new lines of credit that are out there. Then you also have your length of credit history that's there. Then there's a credit mix that's also there. As far as accounts, whether they be revolving accounts, whether they be installment accounts, such as your auto loans, mortgages. So most of the time when people, like you're saying that our credit sometimes has a tendency to be jacked up before we even know what credit really is, usually it's because of revolving accounts. So those accounts that maybe a mom, a parent, a grandparent, uncle, aunt got a cell phone bill in our names, got the utilities on in our names, those type of things that you go back. And so those things can always be rectified because of the fact that a lot of times people are 18 years old. They come back, well, how did I have a cell phone bill in my name when I was 10 years old? You know, so we can always go back and dispute any of those things or whatever. Course, your credit report is usually going to be a record of about 7 years. You know, there's something else outside of judgments, maybe bankruptcies, and it sometimes extends past those 7 years. Okay. So those are always able to be corrected.
Okay. So say I'm 25 and up, and I'm thinking I want to maybe buy a house. I want to buy my first car, mm-hmm. and my credit is jacked up.
Okay.
How do I go about fixing that?
So what you would do is, again, you would pull that credit report. You look at those things that are negatives on there, those collections, those charge-offs. You probably would want to consult with someone such as me to go through and see what is the best way to strategize in taking care of those things and reaching your financial goals, your credit goals. So sometimes, you know, of course, we all can do it ourselves, as we can go wash our cars ourselves. We can maybe clean ourselves. We can cook for ourselves, you know. But we want to go and hire people or consult with people that are professionals that do this day in and day out, that know the hacks, the credit hacks, those things that can get your score where you need it to be, those things that can be done, those tips and credit tips that can be done to get you where you need to be, whether it's a house, whether it's refinancing a house, whether it's getting your first car, you know, in your own name and not having someone else have to co-sign for you.
So, you know, Kim, I've heard people say on their credit reports they were getting ready to make a big purchase, mm-hmm. and they went through credit companies, repair companies, and the companies pretty much went through and disputed everything that was on their credit, and it caused their score to jump up anywhere from 30 to 100 points.
Okay.
However, what they were not told is that it also shows that that's being disputed. So when they were trying to qualify, although their credit score went up, they still were denied because it was in a dispute state. So can you talk to us about that, how that works, and what tips you would have?
Yeah, so for someone like that, I generally work with people, you know, from actually because I'm a realtor as well, from credit to closing. So we know at what points that person, and maybe before they weren't advised, so what point that they should have been pulling their credit or having that person pull your credit. Like I said, you have to be intentional and when doing that, having to make sure that everything is lined up. Because it's sometimes when you're going to get a mortgage, cars are a little easier sometimes, but when you're going to get a mortgage, when you're going to get those type of things, You have underwriters that not only just look at that score, but they're going through with a fine-tooth comb and looking at every aspect of that credit report. So that's where you have to be intentional. That's where you hire people or consult with people such as my company, Good Credit RX, and get in and make sure that everything is lined up, because some people will inflate it with certain things. You have authorized user trade lines that are out there. You don't want to have that many of those. You want to have primary trade lines that are there. With that person disputing, there might have been some things that were still lingering there. After a certain number of rounds of disputes, and I literally have, I would say, a set amount with my clients, we're going to dispute it usually 3 times. I'm going to go through 3 rounds of disputes, which meaning with those disputes, we're going through Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, and asking them, and by law, with the Federal Credit Reporting Act of 1971,
that was a good year there. That was a good year.
We know that year. With that Fair Credit Reporting Act, you're going in and you're legally saying, look, if these things, not saying that it's not yours, but saying if these things are not accurate, they're obsolete, they're not verifiable, then they need to come off. So within that time frame, they have those 30 to 45 days to go in and say whether they are, if they're not reported, verified, then they have to come off. So at some point, just being in the process of disputes, in the middle of that, you don't want to go and get your credit pulled because you're in the middle. And some people will try that. That's not something that I recommend doing.
Okay, so I'm glad that you indicated it, because I was going to ask you a timeline. So you said you usually dispute things about 3 times. It usually takes you anywhere from 45 to 90 days. So I'm going to say about 3 months per dispute, right? So we're looking at about 9 months. So a good
time. A couple months, because it's 30 to 45 business days. So yeah, you're looking at about a month and a half or so, a couple months for each round. So yes.
So a good thumb would be to begin repairing, begin repairing your credit right away. Secondly, if you're looking to begin purchasing something, if you're looking to buy that new home, established business, et cetera, then you would want to begin fixing your credit about at least at a minimum 6 months ahead of time.
Yes, definitely so. Definitely so. Especially when you know you're not just, you have a why. When you have that why there, you need to go and you need to be purposeful about the way you're doing it. So I would suggest at least 6 months, sometimes even up to a year, because it just depends on the severity, what we have to do and extent. But the thing with my company, as opposed to a lot of other companies, is that you would dispute, a lot of companies dispute things, they prioritize how they're disputing. Our company goes in and we dispute those negatives all at one time. So that's where we're able to make it a little faster than a lot of other, you know, avenues, I would say, in doing that, because of the fact that we're disputing everything all at one time and not doing it in sections and trying to prolong the process. I'm a realtor, so we're trying to get people right as quick as possible and not have them be on the plan, you know, long, I would say.
I got it. Because that begins a win-win for you, a win-win exactly. For them, and a win-win for you. You know, like I said in the beginning, credit within our community, within the Black community, it's not something that's really talked about. We don't talk about the impact, the purpose of it, and how it benefits us. And unfortunately, it's not until you want to go buy the house, you want to go buy, you know, car, that you realize the impact that your credit has and how it's attached to you. But even more so now than, I guess, over the last 10 years, companies are in your car insurance policies, you know, are impacted by your credit score.
Employment.
I don't actually think that, you know, is right, but I think it's just another tool. Me personally, I think it's just another tool to kind of keep minorities down, you know, just another way to regulate and to keep that wealth gap wide. So what would be some pros and cons of hiring an organization like yours, Good Credit RX. What would be the pros and cons of hiring Good Credit RX?
Okay, so as opposed to just going in and doing it yourself, like we said, everybody can DIY, you know, everybody can DIY, but the time frame in DIY. When I'm out working, I've actually been in that position before I started my company some years ago. I hired somebody else to take care of those things because of the fact that you just don't have time to sit down and write dispute letters. We have, as our company, we have credit attorneys that are on our part of our company that go in and they help go through those credit reports, pull those things that need to be disputed, all those negatives that they would think that are impacting that credit score. Pulling those things, getting those on a letter, we get those sent out to our clients so that our clients are actually looking like they're disputing it, because that's what it needs to look like. It's coming from the actual client, consumer. So those letters are sent out, they look over it, sign it, send it out. Those things, just in itself, that's the most time-consuming thing, is getting the letters together. Keeping up with that mail, going back and forth. Someone like me, our company, we're gonna monitor that. That those letters are gonna come out on a time cycle as well. Every 60 days or so, we're sending that back off to those credit bureaus, back to back, disputing those things that are on there. Not only, that's just one component of credit restoration. It's a credit repair going in. That's one component that we utilize. The second component, once we get that slate cleaned as much as possible, it's like building a house. You want everything to be clean. Going in the kitchen, you want everything to be clean before you start building that recipe, before you start building that. So what we do after that, after we get everything cleaned off, after those two or three rounds, some people don't have to go through two or three rounds. They may have just a couple of things on there. But after that, then comes credit building. So credit building, we have a number of products for credit building. We have secured credit cards for credit cards for the credit building. We also have a program right now called Credit My Rent. So you have people that are out there that are leasing, that have been leasing maybe for a couple of years. They can get that lease and that credit towards their, you know, their purchase, towards their credit score, I would say. That can go from 1 year of reporting up to 2 years of reporting. So we get those landlords to come in and say, yeah, this person has been timely in their payments. They haven't gone over those 30 days, because that's where you want to make sure you haven't gone over those 30 days. Typically, you'll be evicted probably if you went over those 30 days. So you want to get those landlords to go in and do that. That's going to add also to your credit score. We also have authorized user trade lines, which are, in fact, piggybacking off of somebody else's good credit. It's almost like you would say renting that credit card for a number of months or whatever. Generally, it's going to be about 90 days that you're going to piggyback and you're going to be able to utilize that. Those go from ranging from $350 all the way up to maybe sometimes $1,200 in cost.
But so that's like, I could just jump in. So that would be like me adding my college student onto my credit cards without actually giving them the credit card.
Exactly, exactly. Right. They're not going to be able to utilize it, but they're going to be able to leverage your good credit for great payments, you know, because you want to put them on a card that you haven't had late payment. I have a number, and that's where we come in as far as giving that expertise, because I've had a number of people, they hear about the authorized use. They be, okay, well, I can get mama to put me on her card, but you can't get mama to put you on your card if mom's maxed her card out. It right. makes no sense. So mom may have a $10,000 card, a $15,000 credit card, but mom has that credit utilization above 30%. That's the key, is to make sure that it does not exceed 30%. But credit use, then it's to no avail. It's not going to help you. If anything, sometimes it may hurt you to be put on someone's card. So that's where we have trade lines that are available, that we sell, that are available for clients, be able to piggyback off of someone else's good credit. Generally, those are going to be cards that have 0 or 1% interest on them.
So now, those are all the pros. Now, what are the cons?
What are the cons? My cons, I'd say the cons is when I don't have people that cooperate, because it's a collaborative effort. It's a team. We're as a team. So when I get a client on, my services are not for me just to take over everything. I'm going to advise them on what they should do as well. I had, you know, consultations even this morning or whatever. I have clients that I'm telling them, look, we need you maybe after this point in time that we go through another round and these things, because it's not foolproof. You know, it's not to say that everything is going to fall off. I'm not out here selling, you know, dreams, miracles, that everything is going to fall off. because typically people think that 7 to 10 years of bad history is going to fall off in 3 or 4 months. It doesn't work like that all the time. But what we do is make sure that we're getting people in the position, as you said before, especially in our community, we're getting people in the position to be able to get that credit score where they're able to get it up enough to be able to leverage it, to be able to get homes, because right now I'm getting ready to push that homes before cars. You know, we had it all twisted as well. Yeah. And we're jumping out and we want to look rich. And I was going to say another word in front of that, but we want to look rich before we are actually, we want to fake it till we make it. And sometimes that's not the best approach. We need to get homes because home ownership is generational wealth.
Right.
Not getting a car and getting liabilities that depreciate. And I love nice cars. You know, I love nice cars.
Yeah.
Well, getting a house is more important.
Yes.
Should be living in a house that I should be in a car that's more than what the house I'm living in.
Let me just say, I like nice homes.
And, yeah, love them.
I love a nice home.
And yes, love a nice home.
You get you a nice home first.
Yes.
And then you add to the cars. And I think
that's it. That's the key.
That's one of the things that, you know, that we used to notice. And I'll just use like Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was one of the richest people before he passed, and whenever you saw him in a pair of a jeans and, you know, this shirt that you probably could buy from a good
week. Shirt.
And the man was wealthy. The process, the thought, it's a mindset. The mindset was understanding that our money and the value of things that we purchase depreciates.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we don't tend to understand, is that the value of a car, once we drive it off a lot, depreciates. Versus when we buy a piece of property, doesn't depreciate, it actually goes up in value if you purchase wisely, if you do your homework and, you know, where you buy and research, you know, so you actually make money versus losing money.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's great because, you know, a lot of times people ask, you know, what are the cons? And, you know, as you indicated, it is something that you're saying, you have to be willing to work with you. So there's things that you have to do, that the consumer has to do when they hire your organization to help fix their credit. Now, I know we've talked about personal credit, but what about business credit?
So business credit.
We touch on that
because most of my clients, a lot of my clients are pursuing entrepreneurship. So as opposed to, of course, that first block is getting their personal credit together. Because as you know, as being a business owner as well, a lot of times when we're going in, when you're initially going in with a first-time LLC or a corp or an S-corp or whatever, they're going to ask still for you to be a personal guarantor. So with that being said, we still have to have our personal credit on point. Transitioning into that, though, is when we start getting into business credit. So then when you get into business credit, that's once you get your EIN and those type of things that you need to go to Dun & Bradstreet and get your number there so that you can get your paydex score up and have a nice paydex score so that when you're out, you can leverage that paydex score for your business, whether it be equipment, whether it be office equipment, whether it be, you know, a vehicle, a van or whatever that you may need for delivery for your business or whatever. So that's where I have a lot of my clients that are, you know, working with personally. Some of them have lawn care. You know, they want to get those zero, you know, after that they call it the 0-degree lawn, you know, lawnmowers or whatever, to be able to go out and, you know, ride with the big boys and those little small tractors or whatever, to be able to get larger property, and they need the money, they need the funds. So that's where that personal credit comes in. That's where that business credit comes in. Once you establish your business credit after a number of transactions, after sometimes even it takes maybe a year or two to be able to get there, to be able to stand alone. You have some people out here that are driving cars that they drive on a personal and business. They're driving cars that are not in their own names. They're in their business's name. So once you get that paydex score up, you start going toward getting your net 30 accounts. Those net 30 accounts, and I go into that with counseling clients, good credit RX. So I get into that when I'm counseling them that we need to maybe get that score. We need to get these smaller net 30 accounts that are going to help build that paydex score up so that you're able to leverage that. You can go to a Bank of America. You can go to any Wells Fargo or Chase, whatever, you know, establishment, be able to start getting maybe some credit cards and be able to get lines of trade, you know, lines of credit for your business.
And I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned those banks, but just recently, Chase, has indicated that they put out $30 billion over, I believe, the next 10 to 20 years to close the wealth gap, and begin educating the Black community on generational wealth and to begin to build wealth.
That's the key.
It actually is. And it's about, we don't, you know, like so many different things. Like I said, we take bitter conversations and we make them sweet. Credit is something that we really don't talk about. Credit is something that we're not taught. Credit is something that we don't really understand. We go out and, you know, we buy cars and a lot of people don't realize them. Or I'll just say a house. You go out and you buy a house and you buy a house for, I'll just say, $150,000. Mm-hmm. And then you end up paying an additional $150,000. You're saying, oh, okay, well, I'll buy this house for $150,000. Now that's great. I'm paying X, Y, and Z a month. And you're not really thinking about it, but over the course of 30 years, you've really paid $300,000 for a $150,000 house. So are you, in fact, getting value? You know, are you making money? Or, you know, is that house going to be overvalued?
You know, yes, and it's upside down.
Upside down. Are you going to be underwater? So, you know, credit is very important. Is there anything that we left out?
Pretty much, even piggybacking on what you just said just now about the importance of credit, because we are not taught, you know, it's just something we're not even taught in schools. We're not taught culturally that credit is important in the way of getting it. Just right now, even a tidbit that I'm giving even my clients, when they have a card that, like I said, that is like immaculate credit on there, no late payments. When they have, even if it's a smaller card, it's not a bad thing to put your teenage kid on that card. Attach that credit, attach them to that credit so that when they're coming out, like, as you said before, 18, when they're graduating from college, they already have a 700 or so, you know, score. They have that 700 score. They're able to go ahead and leverage that credit to be able to go and attain things themselves. Instead of putting our kids in that situation, you know, and letting it go from generation to generation, that we're educating, that we're letting them know, I teach mine, you know, about credit, about the value of credit. Because as you said, with interest rates, the better your credit score is, the better your interest rate is going to be. Right now, as I tell people, built my home, this particular home, I built it 2 years ago. You had to have a median score of 750. Right now, I'm able to get my clients with the same interest rate that I had to have at a 750 median score. Now I'm able to get them at 660, 660, 680, which I'm always trying to get them in the 700 club, of course.
Right.
If they're able to get at a 680, we're able to get them right now. Interest rates are all-time low. Interest rates are ranging. I have a friend that's in the D.C. area. She said she just refinanced at 2.25%. They're going down at 2.25%. Typically, with a lot, most of my clients, we're able to get them in at 3%. We have lenders that we work with intimately every week we're talking to. I have two or three select lenders that I use. So we try to be here at Good Credit RX. We try to be as seamless as possible when they come in the door, whether it be a car, whether it be refinancing, whether it be even purchasing a home, that they're able to come in, get their credit where they need it to be, leverage that credit, get to that lender. We send them over to the lender real quick and easy. Most of the time, a pre-approval will happen in hours a lot of times. Once they get that pre-approval, then they're on their way ready to go, or whether they want to go get a, you know, car or whatever, then they can do that as well. But of course, again, we push house before the car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to make sure that we put your information in the notes. But one last question. I know people are wondering, how much is it going to cost me?
So initially with our plan, it's $188. That $188 is the initial registration as well as the monthly fee. And then it's $89 monthly thereafter, no contract.
So basically I can try it out. I can drive it around the corner. And if I find that it's not working for me, I can cancel.
Yes, but I do, again, advise my clients when they're coming on that they at least, you know, commit to at least 3 rounds of dispute.
I've learned something. Hopefully our listeners have learned something as well, whether it's personal, whether it's business, credit is important. And these are the things that we need to know. Kim, is just one of the many companies out there. But since we have you here, give our listeners your information now. Are you regional? Are you national?
National. We're across the United States. So the company expands across the United States. I have clients in all in numerous states. Our information, just to put it out there, I'm on Facebook as Kimberly E. Shannon. Also on Facebook as Good Credit RX. On Instagram as I Am K. Shannon. Then you also can go to www.goodcreditrx.com.
Well, folks, you've heard it here. Credit is key. And if you don't have your, if your credit is feeling a little sick, make sure you get to the credit doctor and get a prescription. All right, folks. So, Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And all right, folks, thanks for joining us and listening in to Sweet Talk, where, you know, once again, we take those bitter conversations and we make them sweet. We make sure that we're telling our stories, so we are controlling our narratives and our voices the way that they should be told. So until next time, join us at Sweet Talk Podcast. All right, folks, we out.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Sweet Talk. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe to our channel so you'll never miss an episode. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play. Reach out with your questions to sweettalklive@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at Sweet Talk Lane. You can also send us a voice message. You can find the link on our Facebook or Twitter page. Until then, sip responsibly and keep the conversations flowing.